This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So David Wood and co claimed that the author of the Quran, whoever that is, we believe that's God, but they claim that he did not know what was in the Bible. I will prove to you that the author of the Quran knew what was in the Bible well. God Almighty knew what the Christians and the Jews had done with the scripture, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and with the Torah of Moses. We will tell you how we know that. Now, I'll give you one example. Amazingly, the Quran mentions similar stories that are found in the Bible, but it does not repeat the mistakes. Now, it is impossible for Muhammad, peace be upon him, to be an archaeologist, to be a historian, to be a linguist par excellence, in order to know all these stories that have only come to light in the 19th century. I'll give you one quick example, how I know the author of the Quran knew what was in the Bible, and he knew the errors, the mistakes of the Bible, which were not put down in the Quran. The story of Joseph in chapter 12, it makes a distinction between the king of Egypt in the time of Joseph, which was the old kingdom, and the king of Egypt at the time of Moses. Amazingly, the Quranic text makes a distinction between the two kings when it comes to their titles. Amazingly, shockingly, surprisingly. And I will give you the details very quickly right now. And this is to prove that the author of the Quran knew exactly what was in the Bible and what was inaccurate historically. And this was an inaccuracy in the text of the Bible. The king at the time of Joseph, which was the old kingdom, nearly 19th century BC or the 20th century BC, whenever Joseph lived, whatever chronology you may choose to follow, but that was definitely the old kingdom. At that time, the title Pharaoh was not used for the kings of Egypt. This much is very, very clear historically. An Egyptologist who deciphered the Egyptian language, the hieroglyphs, they have made it very clear that there was a family called the Hyksos. They were governing Egypt at the time. Hyksos kings were not known as pharaohs. They were simply called Humph, H-M-F, which literally means your majesty. Or this is how they were referred to. It was in the time of Moses, later on, somewhere around 14th century BC or 15th century BC, when the title pharaoh was used for kings. Now, when we go to the text of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the king of Egypt is called Pharaoh in the time of Abraham. The king of Egypt is called Pharaoh in the time of Joseph. The king of Egypt is called Pharaoh in the time of Moses. Amazingly, the Quran does not repeat this historical error. The Quran, referring to the king of Egypt in chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, calls him the king, simply the king, Malik. The title Malik for the king is there in chapter 12 of the Quran when the story of Joseph is being told. But when we come to Moses, in the Quran, the king suddenly turns into Pharaoh. His title is Pharaon, the Pharaoh. Now, this is a subtle point in the Quran, but it is an accurate one. The author of the Quran clearly knew that this was an error in the Bible. And only God could know that at that time, because this fact, this very fact, came to light in the 19th century. It was only in the 19th century when hieroglyphs were deciphered or decoded satisfactorily, and the scholars could read what was written in the temples, and they came to realize that the title Pharaoh was not used during the old kingdom for the kings. So this is an example as to how we know that the author of the Quran knew well what was in the text of the Bible, and this is why he criticized the corruption of the Bible in chapter 2, verse 79. In chapter 2, verse 79 of the Quran, God Almighty, the author of the Quran, the one who revealed the Quran, clearly describes how the Jewish people had corrupted their scripture. It categorically states, and I state, and I will quote, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فويل للذين يكتبون الكتاب بأيديهم ثم يقولون هذا من عند الله ليشتروا به ثمنا قليلا. Woe be unto those who write books with their own hands, and then they say these books are, or they write the book actually, They write the book with their hands and they say, this book is from God. Woe be unto what they write. Woe be unto what they earn. This refers clearly to the Israelite scribes who were writing the scripture and changing it as they went along. And they attributed these changes, these interpolations, these additions in the text to God Almighty, while the original Torah did not have these passages. So the Quran is very categorical about the scribes of the Israelites, how they had changed the scripture of Moses. Also, I want to give an example from the New Testament to show that the author of the Quran was well aware of what was in the New Testament. For example, the author of the Quran, God Almighty, who revealed the Quran, tells us that the doctrine of the Trinity or the concept of the Trinity is false. It is not there. It is false. It is falsely attributed to the prophets of God. And how did the author of the Quran know that there were verses forged in the name of the doctrine of the Trinity in the Bible? For example, 1st Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7, which is the only verse in the entire text of the Bible. I repeat, which is the only verse, or which was the only verse until the Christians recently disowned it. It was the only verse in the entire text of the Bible that presented the doctrine of the Trinity in somewhat clear form. And what is that verse? 1st Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7. There are three that bear witness in the heavens, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and these three are one. This was the only verse in the entire text of the New Testament that gave some impression of the Trinity. But later on, it was found out that it was a forgery. It was an interpolation. All modern biblical scholars, all modern Bibles, if not all, most of them, of course, the King James Version does not omit it, but most recent translations of the Bible completely omit it. They completely minus it from the text, and they put a footnote in the bottom of the page that states that this passage cannot be found in the earliest manuscripts. So where did this come from? Somehow the author of the Quran, before all the textual studies of the text of the Bible, knew that there were some interpolations and forgeries in the text of the Bible and condemned, preempted this concept in the very text of the Quran, where in chapter 4, verse 171, he states, do not say three, and believe in Allah and His messengers. In other words, if you will believe in Allah and His messengers, you will not believe in three. However, the Christians say it exists, because the Christians have had many different conceptions of the doctrine of the Trinity for a very, very long time. So God, in one sentence in the Quran, He deals with them all. He simply tells them, do not say three, it is better for you, abstain from it. How did the author of the Quran know that there were some forged verses in the text of the New Testament where this claim will be made? So let's preempt it. Even though the Christians will find later on that these are forgeries, let's preempt it. So the author of the Quran, which is God Almighty, knew that these problems are there in the text of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. That's why he addressed these problems. And those who claim that the gospel that is being referred to in the Quran is the New Testament, then are you claiming that the Quran is talking about pornography, adultery? Are you claiming that the Quran is talking about the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 9 to 20, which have been omitted from many modern translations and they are no longer regarded as the original writings of Mark? Are you claiming that the Quran is actually talking about those passages? Clearly not, because the Quran makes itself very clear that there are passages in the New Testament that were falsely attributed to the life of Jesus Christ, and they're not true. And we have talked about one of those passages in the Quran that talks about those interpolations and forgeries, the matter of crucifixion. The matter of crucifixion. When the Quran says, as for those who differ about this, differ about what? The author of the Quran knew that there are people who differ about the account of the crucifixion. And those who differ are in conjecture. They don't know the details. They don't know what happened. How did the author of the Quran know that there was conjecture and there was difference? Do you think Muhammad could have known that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do you think Prophet Muhammad had the ability to read the four Gospels, which were not even available to Christians at the time? Many Christians had not collected these four Gospels, in particular around Arabia. Maybe these Gospels did exist as a collection elsewhere, maybe in Egypt, maybe in the land of Syria, but in Arabia, we do not see any trace of the Gospels in any other language, let alone the Arabic language. So do you think Muhammad had the ability to sit down and read all the four Gospels and do an assessment on the text of the Gospels and see that they are in conjecture, they are in difference? They are conflicting with each other. The four authors of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, are in conflict with each other when they are describing the details of the crucifixion. How would Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam know that? How is it possible? So it is clear that the author of the Quran, who is God Almighty, knew well that there are people who have written about the crucifixion and the crucifixion is false. It never took place. And how is it false? Because they themselves are in conjecture. They themselves are in conflict. And this is very, very clear in that very verse. So the first part of the verse refutes the Jewish claim that we have killed the Messiah. The first part of chapter 4, verse 157 of the Quran, refutes the Jewish claim that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, the messenger of God, has been killed. They claim this. وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحِ وَمَا قَتَلُهُ وَمَا صَلَبُهُ. Then the second part of the verse deals with a different group of people. Who are they? وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا. As for those who differ with each other. As for those. So it is clearly not talking about the Jewish people because they do not differ with each other. They are in unanimity that they are the ones who killed the Messiah, as the Talmud claims. The Talmud clearly claims that the Christ, Jesus Christ, was killed by the Jewish community of Jerusalem. That's what the Talmud claims. So that claim is dealt with. The second part deals with a different group of people. As for those who differ with each other, who are those who differ with each other? When you read the gospel accounts on crucifixion, all four of them are in conflict with each other when it comes to the details. Not one of them gives the same details. Not one of them gives the same details. So how did the author of the Quran know, unless he was a theologian par excellence, unless he was an expert on Christian theology, unless he knew the Greek language or the Aramaic language or the Syriac language, in these languages, these Gospels were circulating, and there was no trace of any Arabic translation of the Gospels at the time of Muhammad, peace be upon him. The first translation on record was made in the time of Mamun, the Abbasid Caliph Mamun, 2 centuries later. So the author of the Quran had to be a theologian par excellence to know these differences in detail. I will be posting some links in the description and the comment section so that you can follow lengthy discussions on this topic and see where all the evidences are coming from and where our scholarship is and what they have to say about the Torah and the Gospel in the Quran and what it means. So finally, it's clear that David Wood and Co. have been misrepresenting our sources. They will continue to do so. It's clear that they don't want to listen to our scholarship. They don't want to listen to us. They just simply want to deceive the Christian masses. The question was that, does the Quran state unequivocally that the gospel is corrupt? The Quran does not say that, because the Quran defends the original gospel of Jesus Christ by praising it and by highlighting its remnants in literature around the world. So the question itself was misplaced and it was quite deceptive. And I'm glad that an opportunity was given to us to clarify the image for the Christian masses. So we finish with love and compassion. So more will be coming. Until then, my brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much for watching. See you soon.